Hello there, legends. Welcome to another episode of FPL Face Off. It's the podcast where the Kings, take on the more casual players. And I think for the first time this season, Jim Timms, the Kings are the 1-2 in our League of Four versus the casuals. Not sure if you've seen that. How are you doing?
Hooray. Yeah, I'm okay, thanks, man.
Good.
Not a bad week for me so far. We missed last week, didn't we?
We did. My apologies for that. That was again my fault. But yeah, we did. And such is Jim's commitment to the podcast and to the cause. Where are you recording from as we speak, Jim?
I'm coming to you live from the back seat of my car. Actually, it's my partner's car. We have visitors over with kids, so all rooms are occupied,
Yes.
and it is well, it's 9:15 at night, so I need to be elsewhere. So I'm like I say, like Fitz says, I'm committed to the cause,
Excuse me,
and here
you
I
are.
am. How was your week, Fitz?
Very, very smoothly done there. You may have noticed, or you may not have noticed, that I stood on my microphone controller, so I temporarily muted myself there. It's been an all right week, thank you, and thank you for joining the podcast, of course. Are you saying that the FPL or the sleep of children is more important to your family than the FPL Face Off podcast?
Well, apparently so. I'm not
It's
sure. I
outrageous.
yeah, I mean, honestly, I'd say the sleep of my children is important for them, but more so it's
Yes,
important for me. So,
correct, correct.
there you go.
Indeed. So we are midway through game week 20, not game week 29, game week 34, and it's going all right. You currently find yourself on 57 points. Did you take any hits?
I took one. Yeah.
Nice, not too bad, not too bad. You still have Pickford, White, Trent, Gabriel, Mitchell, Foden, Salah captain, Saka, Darwin, Mateta, and Solanke to go. So there's a very real chance of hitting the 100 club, I would say,
I'd
if
hope
it's a
so. I really would. Yeah.
absolutely. I am in similar good fortune in that. So I've played my free hit, my very tactical free hit. Currently on 64 points. I've got Neto, White, Saliba, Trent, Bruno Fernandes, which was a wild card pick, Luis Diaz, who I opted for over Elise, which I'm currently not happy with, Eze, Salah captain, Saka, Mateta, and Solanke. So yeah, I'm hopeful that there's points there. Do you mind
Yeah.
if I talk to you a little bit about my free hit and my decisions? Because I feel sad.
Please do. Get into it. You shouldn't feel sad. You're on
No.
64 points with 11 players to play.
Yeah,
So
this is true. This is
you're
true.
gonna have a good week. I mean, so it
Yeah.
would have to be short of a disaster, like
Yeah.
inconceivable disaster.
There's
But anyway,
points on the board. You're quite right. There's points on the
We
board.
talked just off air before we came on about some bittersweetness to this week,
We
so
did.
please continue.
Yeah, so on the free hit, one of the things that I was really considering was you're on a free hit, you've got an opportunity to kind of go ultra differential, and in hindsight, obviously hindsight's a wonderful thing, but in hindsight, I wish I'd done that because I would have gone Elise over either Luis Diaz or Saka. I would have captained Eze or Elise just to be a little bit different. But at the end of the day, you've got to remember a lot of people played their free hit in 29, including some people that we are kind of in leagues with. And that was a terrible, terrible game week. So you're right. At the end of the day, what's the point in being sad? I've got 64 points on the board. You would hope another double, another Arsenal clean sheet against Chelsea. Perfect. Trent can do something against Everton. There's and Salah. Salah could still bang against Everton. Everton looked terrible in their last game. So yeah, I think it could be worse. I say Everton looked terrible. Actually, they beat Forest 2-0, didn't they? So
They did.
yeah, ignore me. But yeah, I'm so far relatively pleased, I've got to say.
The pros outweigh the cons in
They
this
do.
situation. I think like when you do quite well on a double, expect free hit or not, it's always room. You can look at it for room that I could have made that decision and it could have gone better. For
Course.
example, we again before we came on, we talked about Salah captaincy. We both put Salah as captain.
Yeah.
And he was benched, and he's just like, "What?
Yeah.
Come on, Klopp." I mean, you
Yeah.
know, granted, he probably deserves a rest. I've got Nunez as well, and he was benched. That's the last time I bring Nunez into my squad. I did not free hit, by the way, just as well as a side note. The other thing as well is it's those little decisions which we've talked about many, many times. I too have Mateta in my squad, and during the week, I very nearly put the armband on him, and I didn't. And you know, you've got to live with those decisions. But like you say, Salah could still bang, but Mateta could easily get another couple. He's
Yeah.
in red hot form. But Palace, did you see that one coming? I mean, they really, really spanked West Ham, didn't they?
They really did. And yeah, I don't think anyone saw it coming, to be honest, because their fixtures, their results haven't exactly been indicative of a performance like that. They did beat Liverpool 1-0, but then
Ugh.
before But yeah, sorry, mate. But then they lost 4-2 to Man City, and then they lost to Bournemouth. So, you know, in the last 4 weeks, they've barely scored. And yeah, to smash five past West Ham is certainly something that it's one of those. I saw a lot of kind of people on Twitter or X or whatever you want to say, kind of looking at free hits and looking at Palace players, and I thought, why am I going to go triple Palace attack? But that's the point, you know. If it's a free hit, take a punt. And our friend Finbar O'Neill, I will give him a little shout out, if I may, because he's had an absolutely storming week. He's on 89 points so far. Raya in goal with 10, White,
Wow.
Trent, Robertson. He's got in Brereton Diaz, which is a bit of an odd kind of punt, but he went for Eze captain. Havertz, Salah, Elise, Mateta, Solanke. So, you know, Solanke, Bournemouth. See, this is the thing. We look at our teams, and actually, you know, you would fancy goals in the Palace game potentially. You'd fancy Bournemouth to score in the Wolves game, and you would kind of fancy your Liverpool assets to do well against Everton. That game always has a little bit more spice. And
Yeah.
personally, as a Man United fan, I'm hoping for a jammy penalty for Bruno Fernandes. I would be
But
delighted.
that I noticed that in your squad, you know, the fixture is tasty. Fernandes, by far and away, is the best United player on the field at the moment.
Yeah.
And he's on pens. So, yeah, why not? You know, he could haul easily.
Absolutely. Yeah, it was a bit of a random punt in terms of, you know, might as well give it a go. Part of it is for fun as well, you know. It hasn't been fun FPL for a lot, excuse me, for a lot of this season. But you know, I'm now in a position where I could potentially, it's not out of the realms of possibility, to kind of claw back a semi-respectable ranking. Where do you find yourself overall in the world, JT?
Oh man, so I've had a complete roller coaster. So last game week, I had an awful one. And a lot of people had a good one. So my rank dropped significantly,
Oof.
I think from 83,000, and I doubled it to about 160 something thousand.
Ouch.
So after this half of the game week,
Yeah.
I've managed to drop that back down to about 130,000. So
Nice.
I had a really good first half of the season. The second half of the season is just I don't know whether it's been poor decision making or bad luck or a bit of a mix of both. I've had a bit of a torrid time of it. So really now, if I'm honest with myself, I'm just hoping to get in the top 100K. Which means if I'm saying that out loud, I'm secretly wishing to get in the top 75, but I don't want to say it because again, you know, it can bring the bad luck. But bad juju, you know. So I, you know, we'll see, we'll see. Like I'm still pleased with where I am. But
Good.
yeah, I you always think with something like that where you're doing so well. My rank, I think I got down to like top 30K or even less, top 25 at one point. So I was flying high, and then I think what happened with the worm seemed to turn for me when I used my wild card too early. And it's put me, I put myself in a corner basically. So I've got a bit of wiggle room now because I've still got my free hit left and I've still got a bench boost to use. So, you know, I might be able to fight my way out of that corner a bit, but you know, we'll see.
We
How
will.
about you?
Well,
What's your rank at now, mate?
so I'm in the top 500K, which is a significant improvement on where I was.
Yeah.
Looking at the game week history, my there was a point where I was kind of close to giving up, if you remember. And I was at, and it feels a long time ago now, but my lowest rank of the season, or since kind of the early days, I was at 4 million. I was at 4 million in game week 14, which again feels like a long time ago, but wasn't really that long ago relatively, because we had a lot of kind of
No.
double fixtures and stuff. But yeah, so to be in top inside the top 500K is good. You mentioned there about the wild card, so I think the wild card is, and this is probably a really stupid thing to say, but the wild card is one of, it's probably your best chip, because it allows you to totally kind of transform your team. And now you think, obviously, you may have used yours too early. What do you think about a lot of people who are now looking at wildcarding as we speak, game week 35?
I think it's great. You know, look, they're going to have an optimum team to wild card two now, but you know, with the, and you can go with form, but if you're going with sort of cumulative points, a lot of those wild card teams are going to be similar, especially with the run-in fixtures. So if you look now, you're looking at what, so as of next game week, Spurs and Chelsea play five times across the next three game weeks. Not necessarily with great fixtures. Chelsea's are better, but their team, the selection of players you've got from them is worse. But then that said, Spurs are being super Spursy at the moment. So you're limited to maybe three or four Spurs players who you might select from, unless you're going super differential.
That's a very good point.
So really, with that in mind, I suppose you'd be wildcarding now towards game week
37.
37, the double. You know, so a lot of teams who are doing that are going to be similar. So you might not necessarily jump massively in rank, but then it all sort of it swings and roundabouts, isn't it? So it may well have balanced out.
It's a very interesting point, actually, like the wild card in 437, because Brighton, Newcastle and Chelsea, they're not easy games, really. Brighton are not particularly playing well. Chelsea have got Forest and Brighton. Like, you could argue that's okay, but Cole Palmer, everyone's got Cole Palmer, and it's relatively easy to pick up Gusto or something like that. Then you've got City, you've got Fulham and Tottenham. Obviously, they're going to want to win. It's City. Everyone's got City assets anyway. United have got Arsenal and Newcastle. I mean, we know that you can't really put anything, can't put any kind of trust in United, and it pains me to say that. Newcastle got Brighton and Man United, and Spurs have got Burnley and City. So you're actually bang. I don't mean to sound surprised that you're actually bang on, but you are bang on in that. The teams are probably going to be quite similar, and I just feel like to have the wild card and the ability to transform your team totally, I would want benefit of that for more than just 3 weeks,
So also, so I've used my wild card, but I still have my free hit. So my plan,
I didn't know you
yeah,
still have
my
it.
plan for the rest of the season in terms of transfers,
Okay, talk to me.
I can ignore 37 because I'll be free hitting. So I'm only now interested in potentially Spurs next week, but I don't know if I will be. Otherwise, it's City, Newcastle, and Chelsea. They're the only three teams I'd be interested in players wise, and I haven't got tons of their assets. So
no,
for me, I'll be making, is it three more or four more transfers? So yeah. And it'll only be players from those teams. And 37, I don't have to worry about now because I geared my team towards this game week. So I got 10 doublers in
Fair
with one
play.
Hit. So I might find myself in an okay position with that. But, you know, who can say, really? But I'll definitely be looking at a couple of differentials, I think, because I've lost that little bit of rank. I'll be looking at people like your Rodri's for City, and potentially someone like Petrovic for Chelsea. You know, I've got Jordan Pickford actually at the moment, and he's got a lot of points in terms of keepers. So, and my other keeper is Dubravka, so he's Newcastle. So maybe I won't get Petrovic in. But either way, those are the teams I'll be targeting. I've just got a bit of a decision for next week, actually. It's whether I've got James Maddison and I've got Pedro Porro for Spurs. I have Cole Palmer, obviously, for Chelsea.
Yeah.
So do I get in another Spurs or Chelsea asset? Is it worth it? Because I'm really only getting them in for the double game week, the one double game week, because they've got both got two double game weeks. Am I right? So including 37?
Yeah, yep.
So, but 37 is null and void for me because I will just do whatever I do on the free hit. So I haven't got Son. Now, my only one switch for Son could be either Saka or Salah. So
okay.
If I was going to, it would be Saka, I think. As Arsenal have no more doublers before the end of the season. No. Liverpool don't either, but the thought of getting rid of Salah makes me feel a bit upset.
Well, Salah's a really interesting one because he's not really done a lot.
No, Liverpool, he's off the boil.
He's off the boil massively, yeah. Do you think, just on a Liverpool-related note, do you think that this could be his last season?
Yeah. Yeah. I just wouldn't, because he almost went at the end of last season, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And you feel like there was a lot going on behind the scenes, and Klopp, you know, he got steered round, and Klopp's going. Yeah. Though apparently, like, there's talk of him staying now, but you know, look, who can say? He's sort of spoken his piece, and it seems to me like it would be a little bit mad if he were to do a Yui, but I mean, stranger things have happened.
Yeah, they have, certainly.
But I just think if he goes, I think Salah's probably thinking to himself, well, it's the end of an era at Liverpool. I've been part of it. And, you know, look, fingers crossed still from my point of view for them to win the title. But it's City's to lose. So, and, you know, Arsenal still look sharp. So, you know, goal difference wise as well, Arsenal are head and shoulders above. So, yeah, I think Salah will probably go. So I kind of just want to keep him in my team just for that. I know he may, like, say, he's been a bit back. He hasn't really returned since his injury, you know, and / AFCON. So
no,
it's a bit of a worry. But what I'd hate to do is get rid of him and then he bags a load of points for the last few weeks of the season. So I'll be with him for his last hurrah. Well, his potential last hurrah, I suppose.
So here's a little trivia question for you, and there's no reason why you would know this. Can you tell me the last game week that he got a double digit haul?
No, I can't. It's going to be many. Where are we now? 30.
So we're 34 now. We're in the midst of 34, and he's on 1 point so far.
Has to be about 10 game weeks ago.
Bang on. It's game week 25. He got 11 points against Brentford. Then the others, there was obviously, he was away at AFCON. Newcastle in 20, got 16 points. So he's 6, 7, 8. So he has got 8 double digit hauls over the season,
right.
Which, you know, is impressive. But yeah, it's been 1, 2, 8 against Man United, of course, 1, 7. So yeah, I don't think there's any need for alarm. And if you've got him in, he's a solid bet, and you would hope that he'd want to kind of end his time if that is what he's doing. Yeah, I think.
I think I'll keep him. The other thing is that it hasn't happened immediately, but I kind of fancy maybe him and Trent to hook up a little bit in terms of some goal slash assist action. But it may or may not happen because obviously Trent's been injured for a good portion of the season. Now he's back, and obviously he's made his mark well, pretty much immediately. So yeah, I'll probably be more likely to hold Salah. It's just again, there's this feeling in the pit of my stomach of getting rid of Saka, for Son. I mean, Son's great, but again, like there's always a little bit of an element of doubt for me with him. So I know like his numbers are great; they are really, really good, and he is the Spurs asset to have. And I don't want to not have him for this double if he's gonna bang. A lot of people do have him. I'm not sure what percentage he's owned, but
24.5%
right.
own him,
So it's not a
so
huge, it's not huge, but it's
no,
enough. And the
it
other
is
thing
enough.
is I've got Madison there, and Madison hasn't returned in his last
No,
five.
no,
So that's a
no.
worry. But I'm gonna say this, he's due. So, and like
He
the
is.
annoying thing is I think I'm 0.2 or 0.3 mil off the straight swap from Madison to Son, so I can't do that. So
They
I've
are
just got
playing Arsenal, and so their running is pretty horrible considering their form. They've got Arsenal, Chelsea, Liverpool, Burnley, City. Like
right.
that's not a particularly great
It's
run in.
not ideal, is it? I like as in So do I want to have three Spurs players, regardless of the fact that they've got a double next week? So the answer is probably no. So I might just hold and hope that Madison returns and other people haven't got him, and then start with so is it Newcastle or Sheffield, I think, next week? So that for me says get in Isak or Gordon, or maybe Harvey Barnes. I don't know, but we'll
That's
see.
a very smooth segue there that I think we should lean into, discussing plans kind of moving forward. You are exactly right. You've got West Ham Liverpool is the early game, Fulham Palace, United Burnley, Newcastle Sheffield United, Wolves Luton, Everton Brentford, Villa Chelsea. So some tasty fixtures there. Bournemouth Brighton, Spurs Arsenal on the Sunday, Forest City, and then the week after the Chelsea, Thursday after Chelsea and Tottenham have got the double. And then it's May, and then it's like, wow, it is business end, business end of the season for sure.
It's gonna be May.
Yeah, it is going to be May by the time game week 35 rolls around. So Anthony Gordon, I think, is an absolute no-brainer. I would. The only difficulty is who you would put him in for. And I mean, I'm looking at Garnacho, and I think, Garnacho against Sheffield United, I can't do that.
Yeah.
Palmer, Foden, Son, or Salah, one of them has to go. But the issue is I've got red flags everywhere. So I've got Holland on a yellow flag, but then I've got Bradley and Udogie, both of whom are out for the rest of the season. So that means I've got White and Kukurea. If ever I'm praying for a nil-nil, it is White, Kukurea, and Gusto who play each
Yeah.
other. A dull nil-nil would suit me to the ground there. But
Is it so? Is it worth you addressing your defender situation, or do you think you just leave it and crack on with the midfield and forwards?
I think that I could, if Gusto's injured, which I have heard a rumor of, then I am in trouble for sure. But if Gusto's fit and he's got a little bit of time to get fit, he doesn't have to. I don't care if he plays this week because he's not on my team. But the thing is, I'm obviously not going to take out Palmer. You're not going to take out Foden against Nottingham Forest. In fact, wait there, Garnacho. They'd be playing Burnley at home in that week, so yeah, it's not ideal to take him out. But I do think that Anthony Gordon. I don't have the money to do a straight swap, of course I don't. But Gordon's just been absolutely on fire for Newcastle. So
He's
it
been
would,
absolutely blinding. I've had him for the large portion of the season. I took him out a few weeks ago, actually, for one reason or another. I can't even remember, but it was a necessary move on my part, I believe. But I would like him back as soon as possible, ideally.
Yeah, that is because they're brilliant at St. James's. Trouble is though, unless I downgrade White, who's my only kind of defender, or possibly, and again, I'm in hit territory already, so you know it's a case of you can't have everyone. And United, I've got Onana. Our next run of Sheffield United, Burnley, and Palace. Palace excluded, you know, we've actually potentially got a chance of a clean sheet somewhere along the line, but
Mate, who knows? Because United are so up and down this season. You just can't tell. But that said, you're a United supporter, so I know you'll always have one or two in there. Yeah, tricky situation. You've got a bit of a bit of a sea to navigate there, haven't you?
Trouble is as well, Jim, my defenders that I do have are crap. So they're all cheap. And so therefore, even if I do want to kind of take out Garnacho and do a hit, and I do think Gordon could pay back a hit, I'd have to replace Udogie with someone 4 million. And I can't think of anyone. I'm going through the form. Rico Lewis may be worth kind of a punt.
Risky.
But yeah, you know, it's very, very risky when you go Tosin for Fulham, maybe. They've
Yeah,
got,
plays.
so that's a -4 could get me Gordon. I just think the way Newcastle are at St. James's, I watched the game against Tottenham. It could have been eight. It could have been eight. They were
Yeah.
phenomenal, and Gordon was at the centre of everything. So yeah, I am tempted, I must say, to so what about you? What are your plans?
So, like I say, for me now, I looking at the remaining fixtures, the run-in, I will only really focus on Newcastle, City, or Chelsea assets. But Chelsea, for me, I just don't really trust. I mentioned Petrovic before, but my two keepers are Jordan Pickford and Dubravka. So, one's Newcastle, so he'll stay. And Pickford's got, I think he's top of the table, isn't he?
I think he
Keeper
might be.
wise,
I think he might
so
be, yeah.
he's worth hanging on to. Everton, obviously, they're in a bit of a scrap, so I think they'll probably, and they, Sean Dyche, he shores it up when he
He
has to. So,
does. He does.
I'll probably might hold there in terms of Chelsea. So really, it's City and Newcastle I'm looking at. I took a hit last week, and so I thought, oh God, how many hits have I taken this season? And it's only three, I think.
Wow.
So
That's
I'd
really good.
love not to take any more, actually, but I might take one. As the season ends, if my rank slips even more, I get a little bit self-destructive. And a little bit like, do you know what? Let's go for a hit and a differential and see if it pays off. So we'll see, just so I can really ramp up the numbers for like I say, the Newcastle and City running. But honestly, I'd probably look at Newcastle for next week unless I get Sun in. But probably Alexander Isak, I think.
I'd say Isak is, yeah, as close to essential as you can get. I was just as you were talking there, just looking at the league table, which is very interesting actually, because I didn't realise. So United and Newcastle, fifth and sixth, were level on points, but obviously they've got a much, but we've got a -1 goal difference. Christ. But Tottenham are 10 points ahead of us in fifth. 10 points. That is
Wow,
appalling.
that's
And
a gap. Yeah.
if Chelsea win their game in hand, which is Arsenal, so I don't necessarily think that's guaranteed.
Unlikely.
In fact, I hope it doesn't happen. They would be level on points with us and therefore ahead of us on goal difference. Chelsea. Oh.
Wow. That's amazing. I love those little stats. That, I mean,
God.
really. And you're like, how? But them's the breaks, man. You know, points are not decided by goals necessarily, are they? They're decided by, you know, fixture to fixture basis. So,
yeah,
amazing stuff.
Just on that, I'm going to make a prediction here. I think Erik ten Hag's time at Man United as Man United manager is coming to an end, unfortunately.
I think I agree. I think that will happen. I don't think. I think some of the fault, if you will, does, you know, lie
not
with him. But
yeah.
I don't think a lot. I don't think percentage wise. I don't think it's all on him though.
No, I'd agree. But you
we
can't
know he's
be,
a good
you can't
manager.
Be facing hundreds of shots over.
Yeah,
like
it's too many.
10 games, it was like 500 shots or something stupid. May have been on 500, but just ridiculous.
And, like, no disrespect to players like Casemiro, but, like, he's great, but he's old guard and he hasn't got the pace anymore. And it's been a matter of discussion amongst pundits and fans alike for a long, long time. So something there needs to change. He made a bit of a fist of it, I thought, about against Coventry, but we won't get into that fist because you lot were embarrassed, really, by...
we were, 100%.
By those guys, and you were really lucky. But honestly, something there needs to change. Now
he's one of our highest earners as well. He's on he's on 300 grand a week. He's got another 3 years, maybe four, left on his deal. Like, it's ridiculous.
Wow. I mean, you know, look, that speaks volumes though. Like, that's not on that. His contract isn't on Ten Hag, is it?
No, probably not. It would have been behind the scenes, but just that I'm sure we'll have kind of a pre-season chat, but I've been talking to my kind of United supporting chums, and I would take, if Ineos came in, as they have done, they've overhauled the back room, which is exactly what was needed. If they came out and said, right, we're going to appoint Graham Potter, and I'm not saying I'm crazy about Potter, but we're going to invest in youth and we're not expecting anything to happen for 2 or 3 years, I would take that as a United fan if I knew that there was some kind of direction, you know what I mean?
100%, because there hasn't really been any direction since Fergie left, and that was years and years and years ago. When was that? When did
2000,
he leave?
Over 10 years.
Mate, so, you know, like, start again. Just start again. Yeah. Everyone would love, like, would, I don't know, thank the club for a reset, a rehaul, and a complete change. It's very complicated, and there are many layers to it, right? Yeah, you know, ownership is a problem, isn't it? That's the core of it. But, you know, that doesn't mean that the structure cannot be found eventually. So,
no,
you know, there's probably hope for you. But yeah, Ten Hag's probably on his way out. Shame for him, because he's a good manager. We know he's a good manager. But I think, you know, sometimes some teams or clubs are unmanageable. And like I say, some blame, he has to take some of the blame because, you know, he's the manager. But, you know, what can I say? Just, yeah, a bit of a shame there.
It's going to be an interesting summer for us both, because obviously you will be looking for a new manager. You could argue that your rebuild has started in terms of players. You've got some brilliant kind of signings in McAllister and Szoboszlai and people like that to start. So yeah, it's going to be interesting.
And the youth, you know, they're coming through as well. And Klopp's been really important in bringing those guys through. So, you know, he'll leave a decent legacy in my
Excellent.
Eyes.
Excellent. He will. Well, that seems like a lovely point to round things off. I've just agreed with you that Klopp has left a good legacy. So, but you can't argue with that. It's facts. Very pure facts. Very best of luck for the rest of the game week and the rest of the season. Thank you for listening. And thank you, Jim, for your time.
Thanks a lot, Fitz. Thanks, guys. Have a great week.
See you later.